या हरे कृष्णा मात जी, आई डोंट नो प्रभु जी, इसमें प्रभु जी यू हैव टू इंट्रोड्यूस योर सेल्फ
Myself,
बिकॉज
I'm Yogendra Das.
ओके वेयर आर यू फ्रॉम प्रभु जी.
Sanatan told me to take ahead this class. Did he inform you about this?
I don't know Prabhu ji.
Now, whoever is the organizer, probably they will be knowing.
See, means we did not get your name, so
My
that's
name is Yogendra Das.
okay. Yeah,
I'm from
thank
ISKCON,
you.
Pune.
Yeah,
I am
yeah,
Sanatan Dharmapuru's friend.
yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu ji.
Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Yogendra Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 3rd chapter, 24th verse. Thank you, Prabhuji, in the last minute accepting this request
Thank you, thank
of
you.
Dharma Prabhu and coming on to the call. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over. Hare Krishna.
Yes, thank you. My voice is clear?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So I'll be showing the shloka. I think we have time till 5:45, I was told, correct? 5:45 or 5:50 maximum. Is that so?
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. And then I'll show the
Thank
shloka and we'll go ahead with our discussion. Let's start with small prayers. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो आई विल शो यू द श्लोक दिस इज फ्रॉम सिक्स्थ कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 34th. Basically, Yamaraj is giving instructions to his dutas, means to his order carriers. Mm-hmm. So probably more I'll tell you during the discussion. I'll just read the shloka and read the translation. And Prabhupada has given some purports on this. So we'll discuss on that basically. Etavatalam aga nirharanaya pumsam sankirtanam bhagavato gunakarma namnam विकृष्य पुत्रम अगवान यदजामिलोपी नारायण नारायणेति म्रियमान इयाय मुक्तिम. सो द ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ दिस श्लोक गोज लाइक दिस. देयरफॉर इट शुड बी अंडरस्टूड दैट वन इज इजीली रिलीव्ड फ्रॉम ऑल सिनफुल रिएक्शंस बाय चैंटिंग द होली नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड चैंटिंग ऑफ हिज क्वालिटीज एंड एक्टिविटीज. दिस इज द ओनली प्रोसेस रिकमेंडेड for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Jamila, for example, was extremely sinful. But while dying, he merely chanted the holy name. And although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. This is purport explanation by Srila Prabhupada. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is liberated, even if one does not chant completely inoffensively. Smartha Brahmanas and Mayavadis do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way. But the truth of Haridas Thakur's statement is supported by many quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. In his commentary on this verse, for example, Sridhar Swami gives the following quotation. If one always chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion in the evening and in the morning, one can become free from all material miseries. Another quotation confirms that one can achieve liberation if one hears the holy name of the Lord constantly every day with great respect. Anudinam idam adarena shrunvan. Another quotation says, one should always chant and hear about the extraordinarily wonderful activities of the Lord. One should meditate upon these activities and one should endeavor to please the Lord. Sridhara Swami also quotes from the Puranas, Papakshayascha Bhavati Smaratam Tam Aharnisham. One can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night, Aharnisham. Furthermore, he quotes from Bhagavatam. He's basically giving the shloka. Okay, all these quotations prove that one who constantly engages in chanting and hearing of the holy activities, name, fame, and form of the Lord is liberated. As stated wonderfully in this verse, Etavalam aga nirharanaya pumsam. Simply by uttering the name of the Lord, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The word alam, which is used in this verse, indicates that simply by uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. This word is used with different imports. As stated in Amarakosha, the most authorized dictionary in the Sanskrit language, the word alam is used to mean ornament, sufficiency, power, and restraint. Here, the word alam is used to indicate that there is no need of any other process, for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. Even if one chants imperfectly, one becomes free from all sinful reactions by chanting. This power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajamila. When Ajamila chanted the holy name of Narayana, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamila certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's psychological, physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death. And in such an awkward position, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamila to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamila achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajamila? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus, one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Pumarto Mahan, one's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear Uddhava, the supreme religious system for human society is that by which one can awaken his dormant love for me. Commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the word bhakti by saying, Prema, premaivokta ka anya artha asya. In the presence of bhakti, what is the necessity of liberation? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also quotes this verse from Padma Puran. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night, following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who quoted the following verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. If the members of the Krishna consciousness movement strictly follow this recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. So this is a purport given by Srila Prabhupada. So the incident that is going on is basically, probably most of you are aware of this, Ajamila was about to be taken to Yamaloka, because earlier he was a very good Brahmana. He was brought up in a very cultured family. He was given very good samskaras. But because of some bad impressions which he got through some bad sights while he was plucking some flowers in forest, he started walking in the path of sinful activities. So he committed himself for only executing wrong activities, which are not even appreciated by normal society. First of all, in the modern day society, people are to become aware of what are sinful activities and what are pious activities. Actually, the modern age is such that people only think in terms of science and technology. but they have very less faith because of the way modern education is being given to all of us, that we are processed, or we are, you can say, programmed to think everything from atoms and molecules point of view. Whereas when we talk of sinful reactions, punya, papa, and all this, generally those are not devotees. They tend to think, "Arey, who has seen all this? Ye sab purane zamane logon ke liye." Now we are going fast forward in science and technology. So let us worry about it. Let us worry about microprocessors. Let us worry about softwares and this and that. So people are least bothered about these subtle entities that control their life. So one thing we devotees should always be fully convinced is that, whether we are new devotees or growing devotees or already well acquainted devotees, we should be always be confident that our life is under complete control. We are not independent. Although we may have smartphones with us, we may have latest computers, gadgets, fast communications, everything at our disposal, still we should know that, and it appears that we have control over many aspects of life, and everything is at our command. I just make a decision and yes, it will be executed. But if we carefully, objectively evaluate our life, we can come to know, on the verdict of Vedic literatures, that we are not fully independent. We may have some independence in life to make certain decisions, but most of the things in our life is controlled by superior forces, what we call as devatas, and ultimately Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So everything is working under his jurisdiction, entire society, even modern day technology, USA, Japan, China, all these various countries, they're making so much advancement. Even India is running in that direction, software development and things like that. Even this is also happening under divine control. This we should be aware, because these kind of material progress is already predicted in Vedas. These are the typical symptoms of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means too much of material absorption, or too much of absorption in material developments. Whereas in previous Yugas, that is Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga, more emphasis was given on spiritual developments. So there are two aspects, two developments in life. Every individual, whether individually or collectively as a society, they advance in two directions. One is material advancement, another is spiritual advancement. So previous ages, what I just now mentioned, bothered more about spiritual advancement, and certainly about somewhat to balance life, they had some material advancement also. That too, through the guidelines given by Vedas. Whereas Kali Yuga, that is the modern day times, people are more absorbed, because lost faith in Vedas due to the invasion of foreign invasion. We have studied in history. There was British attack, and before that there was Mughals attack. So much of the country's culture and so much of people's faith in Vedas, and especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavat Puran, was kind of, or is being removed through the very way the education is being given to all of us in colleges and schools. We are programmed to believe more in the knowledge acquired through these senses. What does it mean to believe in knowledge acquired through senses? For example, say mobile phone, how to design a mobile phone, how to software, how to do some coding, or how to design a machine, or how to launch a satellite and launch space shuttles, do something in astronomy. All these are basically completely dependent on senses. We are depending on our eyes. We are depending on our own ability to calculate, our own ability to observe and evaluate. Everything basically has to be understood by our brain. That is called as pratyaksha pramana. Means we will only believe what our senses accept, or what our senses can perceive, what my eyes can perceive. Whereas when Vedas talk about Vaikuntha, when Vedas talk about spiritual world and and karma and all this, these are not directly visible from our senses. Now, if somebody asks, sir, Vaikuntha exists. Where is Vaikuntha? Show me somewhere in YouTube. There should be some videos uploaded on that, or at least show us something on WhatsApp, some updates, give us some updates from your so-called Vaikuntha you're describing. Or what is this karma? How do we access it? Is there any antenna we can use? Is there any apps in mobiles which help us to tap that so-called karma factor you're talking about? So, and when we talk of soul, reincarnation, punarjanma, and avataras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement and all this, so people have much difficulty in accepting it because we have been trained to, as I mentioned, we have been trained to only believe our senses. So this is one of the defects of a human being. We should know this. A human being is considered defective so long he only depends on his senses. That means if he believes only his eyes, only his thought process, his ears, or his whatever faculties which he is born with, and never has any willingness or readiness to accept the injunctions or the teachings given by Vedas, especially Bhagavad Gita and other authorized Vedic literatures, so long he has no inclination to accept those standard axiomatic teachings given by these Vedas, he is considered defective. Although he may pose himself as a very advanced Nobel laureate in science, in technology, a big pass out from say some IIT or Massachusetts or say Oxford or Harvard, whatever big institute he may be. I mean, he may have various accolades in his life, but that doesn't make him a perfect human being, because he is at par with any other species of life, what we observe in the society of animal kingdom or insects kingdom or reptiles kingdom, amphibians, things like that. Even those entities of animal species, they also depend only on their senses. For example, dogs, they have no ability to perceive anything beyond what they see. Yeah, we have seen, we have good experience with dogs and cats. They live amidst us in our society, and these are observable animals. Similarly, what to speak of many other animals which live in forest? They have no access to truths of life beyond their senses. They cannot even perceive, they cannot even understand what is going on right in front of their eyes. Suppose if I show them a nice video on laptop, say I bring a dog next to me and I show them, see this video, wonderful video about Vaikuntha, about this, about that, or a new movie released with a lot of graphics and things like that, he will not be able to perceive because his senses are very, very, subdued or limited. He cannot expand his thought process beyond what he can perceive. So similarly, if human beings also limit themselves to only what they can perceive through their eyes and the knowledge which they get through their senses, that means they are not yet perfect, even as a common human being. So a human being gets the title as a human being only when he accepts the teachings as given by Vedas. Yes, Vedas are not scriptures of Hindus. That is a misconception. That also we should be very clear with. For example, ISKCON. ISKCON is not a Hindu institution. Vedas are manuals for human form of life. In human form of life, these manuals are supposed to be used. It's a mandate. It should be used because human life is born with a responsibility, because a human being is supposed to perfect his life. And what is that perfection? That is explained in the Vedas. There are two kinds of living beings in this universe. One is those born with demoniac qualities and those born with divine qualities. So only there are two kinds of living entities. Vedas clearly describe. And modern humans are not aware of this. Modern humans think all humans are equal. No. Yes, humans are equal. But they can be categorized into two groups. Divine and demoniac. So demoniac are those who don't imbibe the teachings of Vedas and endeavor towards perfection, for spiritual perfection. And divine are those who start accepting and practicing the teachings, the spiritual teachings given in the Vedas, and work towards their perfection, that is Vaikuntha, or back to Godhead. So they are called as divine. So there are only two categories. The human beings are not categorized as educated or non-educated, this and that. No such categorization. Oh, he's a doctor. I mean, he's a gold medalist. And he's just a poor slum dweller. No such categorization is made in Vedas. Only two categorizations, divine and demoniac. Very simple. And this to become divine, there are not much demands made. The demands are very simple. Just accept the teachings of Vedas, just like the simple teachings given. Just now we discussed from the shloka, to chant the holy names. This is one of the teachings. Of course, one of the most important teachings, certainly. So this is one of the teachings, and accept and follow. So they become divine. And those who don't accept, they become demoniac. So the lifestyles of these two people are exactly opposite. And their future also, it has a lot of differentiation. Those who are divine, their future is very, very bright. Even in this life, they are extremely fearless. And they have no fear of anything. For example, a common human being, when he suffers from fever or even the recent corona, people were in panicky zone. There was nothing to worry. Still, people worried, at least in the beginning times. We could see in videos and news channels, people were much worried. What will happen to me? This and that. People were very much afraid of death. So this death is one of the most fearful factor in a human being. Death is just one thing. There are other things also. For those who are employed, they're afraid that we'll be laid off from the company. And for those who have family, they have worries for their family maintenance. They're afraid my house should not be burglarized. No thief should come. And some accident should not happen to my husband, wife, children, for my parents. So there is always a fear factor constantly haunting a person, a normal human being. But this fear completely vanishes for a person who is divine, who is leading a divinely life. Whereas a demoniac person is symptomized by what I just now described, a constant fear factor. So here Ajamila, we learn from him that when he was about to die, he was very much afraid. He was, of course, he was not aware what awaits him. Maybe he was aware, but he didn't notice it or he didn't pay much attention. But certainly at the time of his death, Yamadutas came. Three, four personalities came to drag his subtle body along with the soul to Narakaloka. So people don't believe that there is hell, there is heaven. Okay, never mind. You don't believe. Don't worry. It will be proven at the time of death. Certain things will be proven at certain time. And they will be kind of... It will be proven in such a way that it can never be denied. So this was one thing that was proven to Ajamila, that yeah, hell exists and Yamadutas exist and they carry my records, whatever activities I have done throughout my life, and based on that they decide what reformatory punishments I have to go through in the place exclusively dedicated for that activity of reformation. That is just like we have jails here. Of course, jail is more acceptable, or it's a habitable place, but hell is no habitable place. It is worse than concentration camps, which Hitler had installed in Germany. He had constructed many concentration camps to put all the people whom he wanted to assassinate. And he made them fast for months and weeks together. He didn't give them one drop of water and food. So they became almost like as thin as sticks, because they had nothing to eat. And finally, he put them in gas chambers and he murdered them, a kind of thousands and lakhs. Hitler killed like that. So that is concentration camp. Whereas hells are much worse than that. In hells, there are far more fierce punishments given, explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. We get to read it in 5th canto, last chapter. So devotees like us, at least, should have firm faith in the teachings given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we go through Srimad Bhagavatam systematically, we'll be well acquainted with all these teachings about existence of what is the planet we are living in. Okay, this is Earth planet. And below the Earth planet, on a higher dimension, exists the hellish planets and much more other varieties of planets. And on the higher scale, on the scale of karma, there are Swargalokas, Maharloka, Brahmaloka, and all that. Those planets exist, they are place of habitation. So Prabhupada gives the example that when a person qualifies himself and gets a proper visa, he can go to America. He can get green card and he can settle there. So from economic point of view, America is considered more luxurious place than India to some extent, or more than any other countries. So even in this planet, this is the example given by Prabhupada, that those who live in America, their standard of life is much superior to people who live in other countries. So even in this planet itself, Prabhupada says, we get to see so much differentiation among the lifestyles, the standard of life and luxury. So similarly, Prabhupada says, those who are more mature in their punya, in their accumulation of punya, they get to go to an altogether different planet called Swargalokas. And those who are extremely negative in their activities, not at all adorable, very condemnable activities, injurious both to themselves as well as to the atmosphere around them and to people around them, they have a very gloomy destination. The planets, very, very gloomy, just like jails. Those of us, in case if we have given a visit for some if you have seen some videos in movies or anything, we see the picture of jails is very, very gloomy, very, very depressing. People there, they go through many psychological problems. It's a kind of suppressed environment. Although they are given some food and water, but there is no freedom and there is constant fear and constant anxiety, very, very depressive atmosphere. Especially even among the jails, there are classes of jails. There is class A jail, class C, class B jail, class C jail. So the lower the grade is, more depressive the environment becomes. There are no proper air and light. They are put in very hard shackles. Some iron balls are tied to their legs and hands. So their freedom is more and more curtailed. They cannot take free decisions. And they cannot move around at their will. And they cannot get what they want. They cannot book something on Amazon using an app which they have in them. They cannot even have mobiles probably. And there is no internet. There is no communication through Zoom or through any chats. No such communication with the outside world. No such luxury to have or possess anything which they like. And very, very, depressive basically. Depressive lifestyle. So hellish planets give us, these jails give us an idea of what probably a hellish planet could be. So devotees like us should be convinced. Of course, one thing is sure, those of us who are chanting Hare Krishna every day, regularly, especially 16 rounds or more. So today is Ekadashi, more means 25 rounds, 32 rounds, some could even try 48 and 64, whatever is their capacity. Whatever is their bodily capacity, mental capacity goes. Even if they are chanting just one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, they could be guaranteed, Prabhupada says, that they have no need to see the hellish planets. Their destination is very, very bright. Just like anybody who has joined, say after cracking IIT exams, they get in, they get admitted, say to IIT college. They are considered IITians. They are given that respect. They are given that dignity. Oh, he's an IITian. Although he may be just a first year engineer student and he may be going through so many tough times solving his papers and getting good marks. Nevertheless, he's still considered an IITian. Similarly, those of us who have just begun chanting, and what to speak of those of us who are seasoned chanters, those who are already chanting 16 rounds for many, many years or decades and so on. So they all are given a very prestigious outlook from the viewpoint of devatas. So devatas are the one who decide where a particular human being should go after death. So they decide. So whether this person should go to hell or whether he should come to heavens. So from devatas' point of view, any of us, now I heard that in the entire planet, there are around 1 million devotees, ISKCON devotees connected. They are chanting and they are visiting ISKCON temples and following the programs given by Srila Prabhupada, around 1 million, say 10 lakh, maybe a little more by now. So this was a statistics I heard. So these 1 million people are divine. Yes. So just now we were discussing about divine and demoniac. The world population is around 7 billion, 6 to 7 billion somewhere. So among that, very few, of course, even that is great in Kali Yuga. Almost 1 million of us who are practicing this Krishna consciousness are considered divine. And rest of them, it's up to them whether to become divine or not. But if they don't accept this teachings of Vedas and or practice any bona fide religion for that matter, then they will be in the other category. Mm-hmm. So I was making this point that devotees like us should be convinced that our chanting should be very, very persistent, because to be freed from gaining entrance to hellish planets is one of the least advantages that we get. There are much more. There are much more. Now, one thing we should be aware that just like there is Earth's gravity, anything that is in the sky, it can never stay there for a long time, because the nature of gravity is that it pulls all objects down. It has to reach the surface. Similarly, the modern day lifestyle is so made, whether we want or not. Sometimes people ask question to devotees. They say, "Arey, Bhagwan ka bhakti karne ka kya zarurat hai? Sabko achcha karenge, sabko achcha sochenge, kisi ko bura nahi manenge, kisi ko bura nahi karenge, kisi ka chori nahi karenge, kisi ko jhoot nahi bolenge. Theek hai na, bas itna karenge kaafi na? Kya ye zarurat jap karna, Bhagavad Gita padna, mandir aana, morning program attend karna, aarti karna, iska kya zarurat hai?" And people ask this kind of questions. But actually, there is an inbuilt fault in this very question itself, because they don't know. By default, the nature, the material nature is so made, the planet Earth, or you can say this entire universe, material universe is so made, nobody can remain still. Either they should be progressing towards becoming more and more divine, or if they stop their advancement, or if they stop their endeavor to uplift themselves, then they will naturally go down. That's what happened to Ajamila. Ajamila was not some, like what we see in Prabhupada's initial days in America, hippies. So Ajamila was not a hippie. Ajamila was born in Kanyakubja, somewhere in northern India, in a very, very cultured family. And that he was not from Kali Yuga. He was from previous ages. In previous ages, the culture was much intact. Even now, the culture, what we see within ISKCON, or even within some of the corners of, some of the places, some of the villages, some of the towns, the culture, a Hindu culture, or you can say Krishna conscious culture, the divine culture, is still intact, but it is vanishing because of the way the modern times, the modern day technology and communication is advancing. Even that is diminishing. But what to speak of those days where there was no scent of modern science and technology and things like that. So Vedic culture was much intact, and people from their very birth itself, they were spoon-fed the teachings, these divine teachings, that they should chant holy names, they should lead a clean life, and they should study the Vedas, they should study Bhagavad Gita, chant holy names, they should do yajna, havan and all that, and keep God, keep Krishna or Lord Narayana the center of their life. They were spoon-fed from their very birth, just like a child is spoon-fed milk and other whatever digestible things he can. Similarly, in those days when the Vedic culture was much, had a strong hold in the society, everyone born were given very good samskaras. Nobody was rejected, nobody was kind of denied in carrying forward, in going ahead, in leading a divine life. Everyone knew that we should worship God. That is the purpose of life. We should lead a very moral life, very divine life, very Krishna conscious life. It was just like every born child, once he develops some intelligence at the age of 4 or 5, he's taught A, B, C, D, I, and all that. Similarly, every human being in those Vedic times, when he was born, he was taught. Purpose of human life is to perfect your life by going back to Godhead, by becoming perfectly Krishna conscious. So there was nothing called as atheism. There was nothing called as, what is this religion? Throw away. Who cares? No such thought process whatsoever. Maybe here and there, very little. But most of the human society was very well acquainted with giving very good Krishna conscious teachings. right from the very birth for their children. So Ajamila was born in such an atmosphere. He was very well cultured. He was taught the Vedas by his father and mother. And he was duly married at a quite early age. And he was engaged in doing various yajnas and havanas and worshipping Lord Narayana. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, just because he encountered a bad thing, a bad sight, very self-destructive, obscene pictures which he saw in his life, just like these days YouTube is like that. You want to browse something, you want to download a devotional, ISKCON devotional video, but there are so many other unnecessary garbage stuffs. To not be too harsh, I would like to use the word garbage. So garbage videos also come. So they are not at all relevant. They're not even helpful, or they're not even moral. Very, very, they hook the mind in negative directions. So such kind of garbage videos come even in YouTube. Most of us have experience. So in internet, that's a common factor. So just like as we encounter such things in YouTube or such social medias, similarly, Ajamila also, is there any message? Okay, we'll discuss on this. Somebody has put a question. Probably we'll go for that at the end. Let me finish the discussion. So Ajamila also, he was going in the forest for a good activity. He wanted to just collect some flowers. In those days, atmosphere was so rich with greenery. So everywhere flowers were available and forests were nearby. So Ajamila was walking and he was trying to collect some flowers, and he just saw some sparsely dressed man and women embracing and doing some immoral activities, not very cultured activities, what we see in these days, movies and things like that. So when Ajamila saw, okay, he saw, but he could have taken some curative measures. He didn't do that. Once he came back home, he started thinking on those vulgar images, vulgar pictures which he saw, vulgar scenes he saw. He started meditating on them, and whatever teachings he had received in the Vedas, he thought, what is the use of all this? They don't give me so much happiness, whereas this man and women, they are enjoying life so wonderfully, so free, so freely. Nobody cares for them, and nor are they bothered about anything in the society. I also want to enjoy like that. So Ajamila started thinking negatively, and he wanted to adopt that kind of lifestyle, what he saw, that vulgar or garbage, what he saw, and gradually give up all his religious activities of doing yajna, havan, chanting, worshipping Lord Narayana. In fact, he degraded to such an extent that he threw away his parents. The parents had to leave the house. In fact, he made his wife leave the house. He brought in a prostitute. He kept her, he maintained her, and through her, he got many children. So my whole point is, the moment a human being, he may be very highly cultured, very highly dignified, very highly moral in his lifestyle and in his thought process, but even one bad encounter which he may have in his life, if that bad encounter proceeds ahead and takes his thought process in that direction and makes him stop doing all the spiritual activities which he was doing, he will degrade to a very, very low platform. And that's what happened to Ajamila. We read, Ajamila eventually went on becoming a great thief, a dacoit, the great, most fearsome human being society could have. Everybody feared him because he murdered many people. Because since he gave up his religious activities, there was no earning, and he had his prostitute wife at his home, and he had to maintain the entire family, the irreligious family. So he had to earn, and there was no moral means of earning, getting a good earning. So he took up all this, these other ways of earning money, by looting people, killing people, by becoming a street murderer. Anybody would be walking in the forest, going from one village to another village, he would come behind them, slit their throat, empty their pocket. So he murdered many, many people like that. And he looted many, many rich people. So he became a big daku, very well famous daku. The person who was a very good brahmana priest, now he became a very big daku. or dacoit. So he, life went on for many, many decades like that. He went on to have 10 children. So when old age came, of course, body became very, very invalid. Now he's 88, 90 almost. People become very invalid in their body. So many diseases come, you know, rheumatism, and body doesn't cooperate, digestive system doesn't cooperate, eyes cannot see properly. So many problems come. So that's what happened to Ajamila. So all his other activities stopped. So because he didn't have any other activities to do, he was just busying himself in playing with his small children, his little kids. So one of the last kid he had named him Narayana. Somehow by good fortune, Krishna had given him intelligence to name that boy as Narayana. So he would play with him. He would feed him, go around, just like we see in the society, the elderly people, they play with their grandchildren. So similarly, this Ajamila was also engaged in playing with a small boy. But he had done all these activities before, and those samskaras are still intact in him. He still has various demoniac thoughts going on, plannings going on. Only thing is, he doesn't have enough strength to execute them. That's all. So, never mind. The time came for his death. People don't go beyond their destined lifespan. So, when he was about to die, definitely he saw Yamadutas at the midnight. He saw them. They came and they put a rope, that whatever mystical rope they have, to drag his soul and subtle body to Yamaloka. So at that time he called, and because he was very much attached to his last son Narayana, he was calling that child, thinking that the child will come to help him. Narayana, Narayana, he was calling. Loudly he was calling. And now because he was chanting Narayana, 4 Vishnu Dutas came. So my point here is, although he had executed such pious activities, he didn't deserve to see Yamadutas at all. Because the Vedic culture is so made that even in India, among Hindu families, we keep the name as Ram, Krishna, Narasimha, Raghava, like that. We keep such very, very pious divine names. So just by calling those names, people imbibe in their account various sukrutis, or you can say divine merits, divine currencies in their account. They earn them. So similarly, I was making the point that Ajamila was so cultured in his early childhood that he didn't deserve to see Yamadutas at all. He was directly supposed, if he would have continued his religious life as he was born with, probably he would have ended himself in a good higher planets, living among heavenly denizens, heavenly citizens, living a very luxurious, happy life. But because he led a very sinful life, he had to see the Yamadutas. And if those Vishnu Dutas who came to combat his being dragged by these Yamadutas would not have come, Ajamila would have landed in Yamaloka. The Rasatala planets, way below the earthly planets. And there Yamaraj would have decided what punishments he has to go through. Probably his subtle body, he had to be boiled in burning oil, boiling oil, and various gruesome, unthinkable punishments the living entity is given in hellish planets. And Ajamila would have been one such victim. But fortunately, because he was chanting the holy names, he was saved. Now Vishnu Dutas come and they rescue him. That's the whole point. So his life was like this. It went below, degraded. Unfortunately, last moment he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas. So the whole lesson to be learned here is this, that our life cannot be as I pose the question, as few people ask when I started the subject, that some people ask, we'll just do good, be good. No, it doesn't work like that. Either we have to spiritually progress for becoming a divine being, or we'll naturally go down by the strength of gravity, the gravity of karma, to demoniac activities, as did happen to Ajamila. So Ajamila went on becoming more and more like an animal, very, very gruesome murderer, the most abominable person in a society. Similarly, human beings also become like that. Any normal human being could become like that. So we devotees should be convinced on this fact, on this point, that we should always look up. We should always be thinking, how I can progress in my Krishna consciousness? How I can make my consciousness more and more Krishnaized, Consciousness can be material, consciousness can be Krishnaized, and consciousness can be sinful. Material means it's like zero. Whereas Krishna consciousness means positive. Whereas demoniac or like animals means below. So most of the human beings are born with this neutral consciousness. It is the way they live their life decides whether their consciousness elevates to divine or whether it degrades to demoniac, to being becoming demoniac. So devotees like us should be always thinking, how I can improve my consciousness? How I can improve my purity? Purity of my thoughts, purity of my speech, purity of my activities. Now we all can observe, we can be self-introspective. Certainly we can see what is going on in our mind. We can see what is going on, what plans are going on in my intelligence. Is my thoughts absorbed in material activities or is my thought absorbed in spiritual activities? Now somebody may ask, Prabhu, why bother so much what is going on in mind? No. According to software, hardware acts. Whatever we design, whatever we write in the software language, the hardware, I mean motors and other things, they work accordingly. Similarly, whatever is our thoughts, whatever is the thinking process, plannings, willings, desires, go on, hands and legs and eyes and other senses act accordingly. Everything begins here. Just now, right now we are discussing, say after 5:50 class ends. So now here we are around, say 50 of us sitting in this assembly. And we are discussing something from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, just after this class, what each of us will be doing? How do we know? Yes, we know because it has already been programmed by our thoughts. We have already thought about it. Some of us may be thinking, oh, it's evening. Let me have my dinner. Some of us may be thinking, oh, let me go for a walk in the park. And some of us may think, okay, let me do this activity. Let me go for preaching. Let me talk to this person. And an ordinary materialist who is not a devotee, he may be thinking, let me go to cinema, let me go to cricket, let me go here, let me go to some club, let me go to some drink beer and smoke cigarette. So, see, the time given is, I mean, that the time starts at 5:50, but the activities are different. And some of us are going for park, some of us are going for preaching, some of us are going for chanting, some of us are going for eating. And a hardcore materialist, those who are not devotees, they are going for cinemas and cricket and all self-destructive habits. Although the starting time is same, but the activities are differentiated. So what decides what activity a particular human being goes up to? It is his thoughts. Very, very simple explanation. Whatever he thinks, he plans accordingly. First thinking comes in the mind and intelligence plans accordingly. So we have to evaluate. What is going on in my mind? What is my thought process? What is my thinking? Is my thinking Krishna conscious? Now, it is not a very abstract thing to be Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious means my thoughts are connected to Krishna. For example, I will take prasadam. This is a Krishna conscious thought. I'll go for preaching. This is a Krishna conscious thought. I'll go for aarti in the temple. This is a Krishna conscious thought. I'll read, call other devotees, I'll do some satsang and discussions, and or I'll today's Ekadashi, I'll chant extra rounds. So these are Krishna conscious thoughts. Whereas a non-devotee who is nowhere connected to Krishna conscious, he has his plans as we discussed. So we can see very clearly what is going on in our mind. Now, okay, now, right now I'm thinking of chanting. Then we should evaluate how much I am of my thoughts are Krishna conscious. That also we should evaluate. Okay, right now I'm inspired to chant. But after 3 hours, I may become bored. Hey, what is this chanting? Give up all this. Let us watch some videos in YouTube. Of course, if they're Krishna conscious, that is also fine. But if they're not, then it's a problem. So we should evaluate how much I'm Krishna conscious, how deeply I'm Krishna conscious, and how long I'm Krishna conscious. Both we should think. Okay, is it that I am a devotee only during the morning program and whole day in my company and in my neighbor circle, I am discussing all the worldly subject matters? Then I am a semi-devotee. I am yet to grow. I have to grow. No, old I am Krishna conscious. Even when I'm in company, I'm thinking, oh, today I chanted 16 rounds, but if I get some time, I can do some extra. Or in between the company hours, I get some time. So let me go through some Prabhupada purports in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, CC. So these are Krishna conscious thoughts. So every devotee should always evaluate himself how to improve by testing, or you can say by evaluating this parameter of how deep he is in his Krishna conscious thoughts and how long he is Krishna conscious in a day, 24 hours of the day, 6 hours goes for sleep and 2 hours for other bodily activities. So remaining whatever 16 hours, say approximately 16, 17 hours, how long of these 16, 17 hours am I Krishna conscious in my thought process? Body may be engaged in writing a program. Say I'm working in a software company. I may be writing some code. I'm coding for the company project. That is all right. Hands are engaged. Even intelligence is engaged. But consciousness could be Krishna's. Consciousness could be thinking, oh, let me finish this program. Then I'll be done with the responsibility. Then I'll go for the evening aarti. Or evening I'll sit and read Bhagavatam with my family members in the house. So this is, although he's writing a program, hardcore software program in Microsoft, but his consciousness is purely divine. So every devotee should evaluate himself like this. It should be a constant evaluating factor that should be installed. This program should be installed within our brain. So that's how we can ensure that we are always progressing. So Prabhupada is giving us a simple formula here in this purport which we just read in the beginning. In the beginning, Prabhupada gave a simple formula. Whenever we get time, we should chant. That's all. Chanting is one thing which doesn't demand any, external factors. We don't need a gadget for chanting. We don't need books for chanting. We don't need a nice room for chanting. Anywhere, whether we are in office, we are in school, we are in college, we are in kitchen, we are riding a bike or a car, going in train or going in flight, anywhere, moment we find, I have now nothing else to do. My college work is done, my house work is done, company work is done, everything is done. Now I can chant. Chanting doesn't even need beads. We can chant even without beads. You know, Prabhupada would say that. Chant 16 rounds on beads, and unlimited rounds off beats, Prabhupada would say. So even if you forget to carry the Japamala like this, you forgot, it's in the house, what to do? Okay, never mind. We can still chant. Hare Krishna, we can go on chanting. So chanting should be done in the mind and with the lips whenever we get free time. And if say, mind is not very actively engaged, say somebody is cooking, some elderly Matajis are cooking at kitchen, so only hands are engaged and of course certain plannings, but most of the other faculties are free, then chanting of Hare Krishna could be done either through lips or they can hear. So the whole point is Prabhupada is giving us such basic formulas by which we can always remain Krishna conscious very deeply and for a long time. That is chanting. And chanting is one of the most important thing. And to keep up the chanting, we should regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam. Regularly means every day, nityam. Every day, every devotee should make an active plan to read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita, whatever level he may be in, at least half an hour, 45 minutes, if possible, 1 hour. Meditate on those teachings and do other Krishna conscious activities. This is for any devotee who is living in the society. So he should every day study Srimad Bhagavatam and chant 16 rounds minimum and imbibe the teachings given in Srila Prabhupada's books and keep chanting whole day along with his other activities whenever he gets free time. So this is the basic formula Prabhupada is giving. So we should have a very solid reason why I should always chant. And the entire class, entire discussion what we had from last 45 minutes to 1 hour was this, that just to keep ourselves in a very, very divine consciousness, in a very pure, sublime consciousness, very happy consciousness, the chanting of Hare Krishna plays a very, very vital role. Chanting also means other things, what I just now discussed, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees and things like that. So these are some of the lessons we get from the purport which Srila Prabhupada has given. on this verse. So it's 5:45. We have, I think, 5 more minutes. If anyone would like to add anything or ask anything, you are most welcome.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanwa pranam to you. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, first of all, for coming on the call at the last minute. We all know it's not very easy to come on the call without preparation, but you came on the call. So thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And Prabhu, you nicely talked about, first of all, smartphones. You know, I completely agree, Prabhu. Seems like we were supposed to control them, but they are controlling us right now.
Yes, I
remember when I was very young, I remembered so many telephone numbers, you know, by memory. But these days, it's difficult even to remember your own wife's phone.
Yes, that is
maybe correct. In your case, some brahmachari, sorry. And then you nicely explained about the knowledge is not really given in the schools these days, Prabhu. They are all given mundane knowledge, which will actually not help us at the time of death. That's for sure.
Even while living, they don't help us.
Yes, Prabhu. Materially, they can help us a little bit, but that doesn't give us real happiness, Prabhu. What gives us real happiness is only Naam and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's for sure, Prabhu.
Yes.
Prabhu, one amazing thing happened, Prabhu. I would like to share with all the devotees. When we were waiting for today for Sanatan Dharam, Prabhu, and we were making our own plans. Our organizer, Hargare Shamagori Mataji, was typing in the group, what are we going to do, this, that. So I was laughing. We were making our plans, but the plans were Krishna consciousness, because we were thinking we will do this. And then the Krishna was making his own plans and he sends you, Prabhu. What a beautiful help from Krishna, Prabhu.
No.
The verse itself says, Sankirtanam Bhagavato Guna Karma Nam Nam. So many devotees on the call were chanting, and Prabhu, you came to help us out. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very beautiful class, Prabhu, at the last minute you gave. Prabhuji, you were saying there was a question in your chat box, maybe?
Yeah, is there some Hetal Prabhu or somebody? I was feeling very much, very anxious since I have shared my important documents to an employer. And since morning, I'm trying to contact him. So what should I do? I don't know. I mean, saying he shared some important documents. Is it that he gave his documents literally? And since morning, I'm trying to contact him. What should I do? Should certainly make some plan. I mean, you should plan how to contact him. And how important are those documents? If they're your college certificates, certainly you have to retrieve them. You have to try through some means.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a very personal question.
Yeah, very personal question. You may have to discuss with some of your neighbor friends.
Yes,
and go ahead with what you do. One hand is Sudhakar Prabhu. Yes.
Sudhakar Prabhu, Hare Krishna, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much. I have a small query, but of course not related to the today's topic. It is very general.
Never mind. Yes.
Like tomorrow is Ekadasi, right? So during the Ekadasi, can we offer the bhog to the god or not?
Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada says Ekadasi is for us, not for Krishna, Prabhupada says.
You can
offer even rice, parota, whatever regular items, even pizza, whatever regular things you eat, you can definitely offer. And the offered food should be honored the next day. Or it should be distributed to other people who are not following Ekadashis. But the devotee cannot take. So Ekadashi is for the devotee. But for the deities, you may have, say, Gaur Nitai or Jagannath or Radha Krishna deities you may have at your home. You can definitely offer any food item. There are no restrictions for that. Prabhupada says. Yes. One other hand was up. Vinita.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a beautiful class, very detailed class. So, Prabhu, if we want to contact you, how can we contact Prabhu?
Actually, generally, I live in here in ISKCON NVCC, Pune.
Okay.
Sanatan Dharma could help you.
Any email ID, Prabhuji, or anything that you can
do? Okay, that I can put on chat.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Anything
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Yes, please go ahead. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for this saving the day today. You know, I was worried what will happen. Sanatana Dharma Prabhu is not there. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving your time and association and coming for the very last minute. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
So, are we ending here?
Prabhuji, there is one more hand raised from our very senior devotee.
One more hand. Yes, Balaram Prasad. Yes, Prabhu, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam, please tell.
Prabhuji, I had, since it is Kartik and Ekadashi, I think you brought us the way you explained very well on a consciousness perspective. So, any special, you know, thoughts on what we can do on Ekadashi, especially in the Kartik?
Okay, what special things we can do on Ekadashi during Kartik?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his books, a devotee does special activities throughout the year. He says like that. So, definitely, we should do on Ekadashi and that in Kartik all the more. But even throughout the year, we should be planning how I should keep myself, improve myself in my knowledge and in my activities of Krishna consciousness, in my level of chanting and things like that. But just to precisely address your question, the best thing we could do is we can chant more. And in Kartik month, it is always recommended that we study Krishna book. Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion book. So these are precisely Prabhupada told once somewhere. Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion, he himself took classes. So if you personally ask me, I recommend this. That you could chant as much as possible. And when you're not able to chant, you could read Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion, not just on Ekadashi, but throughout Kartik. Krishna book is generally kind of, we read only on special occasions. Sometimes some of the devotees. So this is a special occasion, Kartik month. You could take a vow that I'll complete as many chapters as possible, either of Krishna book or Nectar of Devotion. These two books especially is recommended. Mm-hmm. And of course, apart from chanting, of course. And many of us, we do Deepadan in temples, nearby ISKCON temples. So these are some of them. But directly, personally, this is what I would like to say. Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion and chanting.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Prahlad Anand Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam to you and everyone here. Pursuing to this, you know, activities in Kartik here. Generally, you know, as a devotee, we follow Tasmad Bharat Sarvatma Bhagwani Swarohari Srutavya Kirtitavya Smartavitis Ichatabhayam. So, in my own way, I would like to do some preaching, you know.
Wow, that is also wonderful.
So we do a lot of more book happy distribution. We do a lot of book distribution, especially, you know, yesterday I gave one book to someone who was checking my eyes, you know, for my prescription like that. So this is what I feel, you know, that it will be pleasing so much to Sri Prabhupada.
Yes, but for book distribution, there is an exclusive month dedicated for that. We all know. It is upcoming month, November 15th to almost January 15th. You will be demanded to distribute books. There is no option. There is no question of taking a kind of self-vow. No, we are demanded.
Right.
So even now, if you would like to extend, that is, that's your magnanimity.
That's what we do as our little contribution to
Yes, Prabhu, very, very wonderful. You can, Prabhupada says, one's own improvement as well as helping others.
Right.
So self-perfection and helping others to perfect. So both should go on parallelly. So we can improve our own Krishna consciousness. At the same time, as much as possible, we can help others by distributing books and sharing with them this knowledge. Yes. Both are, we have to make a balance. Yes.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very well.
Thank you, Prasadanand Prabhu. You always give us beautiful inspirations to do something. Prahladananda Prabhu is a very senior devotee. He attends us every day.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Haribol, Haribol. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Beautiful class, Prabhu. So many beautiful points I was writing down when you were giving the class. Another point I loved was you were saying people say just do good. But I was thinking I was doing good too when I was not in Krishna consciousness. But then whenever there is a moment of sense gratification, we put the goodness aside and we do sense. Now with the chanting, the attitude has changed. We don't put the you know, for sense gratification.
Now we do it for Krishna's sake at any cost.
Yes, Prabhu. That is so beautiful.
So only a devotee can do good to others. That's your point.
I am not a devotee yet, Prabhu, but still trying.
Yeah, it's all of us.
But with your blessings, probably we will just advance in our Krishna consciousness. So, dear Prabhuji, there are so many beautiful comments in the chat box. Everybody is thanking you. Also, I would like to say, Hetal Prabhuji, please just contact Prabhuji on email. And Prabhuji can certainly help you with your personal situation or whatever it is. So thank you, Hetal Prabhu, for joining every day. Tiffany Mataji is there. Shiromani Mataji is there. Everybody is Prabhu saying thanks for the beautiful class.
Thank you.
And Prabhuji, if there is no questions or any other realizations, with your permission, Prabhu, we can end the class.
Yeah, we can certainly. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. And I just want to add, like I said in my comment, please come back again, Prabhuji. I really enjoyed your class. Thank you so much. Please come back.
Definitely.
Prabhuji, Tiffany Mataji is our very amazing and regular attendee in the group. He's amazing.
Okay.
She's amazing devotee.
Oh, I don't know about amazing, but yeah, so Prabhuji, I am a regular.
For her request, please come back. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Dear devotees, thank you, Prabhu, for attending, for coming on the call, Prabhu, and please give us time again in the future, Prabhu. So, dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha
kalpataru
bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna Prabhu Pad ji ki jai. Govinda Prabhu ji ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.